how this is going to go. We're going to start with the budget Q&A. If you don't have one of these sheets, one can be made available for you. This is a summary of the budget, just the top line information. Greg is going to walk through this and explain what all the numbers mean. I mean, if you're like me, I just love poring over numbers. Maybe not all of you love numbers as much as I do. So Greg is going to do the narrative version of the numbers as well. And then we'll entertain questions. And after that period of time, then Connor will come up and we'll do Q&A. Probably around 11:30, we'll start Q&A for the church plant. So let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for the many ways you've gifted this congregation with all that we see, all who we are, the people you've brought here, and also financially, the way you've blessed this congregation over the years. Would you bless this time as we discuss the plans for 2025, the little bit of retrospective of 2024, and also bless the time when we're discussing the future, especially with Connor and his church plant in North County. Thank you again for all you do for us and the ways that we are seeing you at work, all in the name of Christ. Amen.
I'll turn it over to you, Greg. Thank you, Dean. If anyone does not have our budget sheet, just raise your hand and Vince can get one in your hand. And I'm told I don't have a lot of time, so I need to move quickly through this and hopefully not get into too much detail. But if you start with the treasurer's report that's got the revenue and the budget on it, with the blue on the top, on the left side is a recap of how we did for 2024. And we fell just a little short of our budgeted revenue. Of course, revenue is something we project like the prior September, so we do the best we can. But personally, I'm happy with that. And our expenses were even lower than the revenue shortfall. So we ended up with a deficit in the general fund of negative $36,000. We planned for $92,000. So we did quite a bit better than we thought. So I'm thankful for that. Thankful for the generous givers that helped support this. And so that's kind of 2024. So if there's any, I can just take a few questions given time. If there's questions about 24, you can raise your hand and I think we'll give you a mic.
Hi, thank you. Okay. Which part of the budget does the snacks come from?
That would be part of the program expense in the worship and ministry. So that would be the third expense row. Any others?
So, hey, Greg. So on the cash balances, it says expenditures were $890,848 in 2024. And on the first page, the actual expenses were $987,711. Can you explain to everybody what the difference is there?
We had some non-cash giving. We had a donor that gave the new projector, and instead of giving cash, bought the projector and gave it to the church. So I put that in the giving, and so make things balance and get the cash, I had to put it in the expenditure side. Plus, there are a few little balance sheet things in the reconciliation to get exact, but thank you, because I asked myself that same question, you know, why doesn't it balance? So I had to go through that. Thank you. Okay.
I was wondering if we can get a line item budget so we can see specific items from the year, because there's nothing here that shows me specifics, and I'd like to see some specific line item budget things.
Okay, I'll let Dean address that one.
Yeah, the answer is yes, for upon request, if you want line item level. We stopped doing that mostly because it was a lot more paper and very few people cared. So I'm glad somebody cares.
So if there's a request, Email Greg or Dean.
Yeah, Greg or me, and we can send it to
you. Or even info to Allison, and then she'll make sure I get it to you. But we have a full-blown with all the line items here. These are compressed by department. And it can get a little overwhelming because it's kind of long, but you can have it. Good. Okay.
Super quick question. Fiscal year and calendar year, do those coincide or
they're
the
same?
Okay.
Same. Great. Yeah. In this case. Okay. Let me move on, just due to time, to our budget for 2025. Please appreciate this starts with the trustees in September. And so we only have so much history. We kind of do the best we can. We go through a process. We try to project the revenue. We look at historical trends. We ask Dean to give us what he thinks, and he's the data scientist, and he did that. We looked at from November, December, which traditionally are higher giving months, and maybe we got a little optimistic, but we based the budget on that, inflation, and also kind of what the ask is to support the ministry goals in the next year. So in my mind, those are kind of like three major things. So we do the best there. So we do have some pretty good growth. The budget's growing. The budget is about 9.2% higher than last year's budget, and it's about 15% higher than last year's actual. We had great giving in November, December, but it was even bigger the year before, and we kind of based it on that. So we're moving forward. We're going to trust the Lord with this budget, and it's just a little over $1 million for all funds, and then with expenses, you've got inflation built into the staff wages and other factors. Plus, there's a few new line items that we have this year as well built into that. So right now, we're projecting a deficit of $66,000. Still trying to get to a balanced budget, but to achieve what pastors want to achieve in the session, this is where we ended up after a long process, because it goes from the trustees to the session, and then they'll make a final recommendation to the trustees, which we approve the final version. So that's just kind of the revenue, projected expenses, planned deficit. And we do have very good reserve funds, so if we achieve this deficit, we can cover it. On the back page is a little more of, gives you an idea of what's happening to cash. So the first half is where our cash balances were at the end of December 31, 2023, and then kind of how that rolls forward to December 2024. So with all funds, we ended up with $1,035,000 in cash, about $720,000 or so is invested in CDs and treasuries. So it's we've started out making over 5%, and most of you know the rates have been dropping down with the Fed funds discount rate. So we're making about 4% on some, but we've got prior investments that'll mature at higher rates. But that's pretty much what I'm looking at here, and we're counting on that interest as part of the funds to support the ministry. And then the bottom part is the projection, taking December 31 of 24, and based on our budget, we're kind of rolling that forward to see what that might look like. So that's kind of that side. So I'll take a few questions, I think.
And Greg, can I mention one thing? Tell me if this is correct, that in the estimates of surplus or deficit, the investment income is not counted there. Like, we're not expecting a certain amount of interest income in order to offset, but it's there if we need it. Is that?
It's in the numbers.
It's in the numbers for the surplus and deficit?
It's in the numbers,
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you for correcting that.
So a few questions?
A couple of years ago, we planned on deficit spending for a while. Is there still, what's the strategy now for how long that would be?
I'll let Dean take that one.
Take it. We're trying to get there, but we don't want to negatively impact body life and ministries here. So what we've done, we've worked with the trustee, the session's worked with the trustees to come up with a formula, essentially. If the cash reserves drop below a certain level, then we'll initiate cuts. And I don't know if you remember off the top of your
head. It was 6 months operating expenses, so it would be about $550,000.
So once we get to that level, then that's the sign, okay, we're going to cut operating expenses so we don't dig into reserves and get into a more difficult situation. But we're seeing it shrink. You saw 90,000 estimated for this year, and it ended up being 35,000. Next year, it's 60-something thousand. And our standard, what's actually happened is we usually underspend the budget. And that's, we're trying to make that more in line. Like if we see something significantly underspent, we'll adjust the line items. But generally speaking, people still underspend, which I'm really thankful for. We're a frugal group of people here. So that 60,000, I think, is probably our guess. That's probably the worst case scenario, not a best case scenario. So it'll probably be less than that. We'll see next year. We're hoping that that will drop even more. Like the book on the book deficit will drop even more. We'll get close to balanced in the next year or the next 2 years. The biggest thing, one of the numbers, and I'll do this super fast, one of the numbers we compute regularly is how many more people do we need here to erase the deficit? And it's like 20, something like that. So, and I describe it as pew sitters. So think that way, as more people come here and start worshiping with us, it's not going to take that much growth in order to erase the deficit.
And then some of our expense line items, like interior maintenance, exterior maintenance, the capital expenditure fund, are all just kind of contingent amounts that we estimate. So we have enough funds when something happens, HVAC unit goes. We had to replace a whole fire alarm system this last year. The ice maker broke down, and we got to have ice. So we got a new ice maker, you know, that kind of stuff. Some stuff is aging. We try to consider that, but and then other line items are generally we're going to do it, you know, staff salaries and other program ministries, but even that there's some contingency amounts in there.
First of all, when Greg says some things are aging, he's not referring to any particular members.
Not me.
Yeah, but one great way to help grow the budget is when you come into worship next Sunday. Come one pew further in, and then make sure you help take up the whole pew to make room for people who are coming in. That would be a great way to help grow the budget, because right now, the spacing of how we sit, there's nowhere for them to sit when they come in without having to crawl over or make you scoot down and all of that. So I know it's simple and it sounds weird, but making space for more people helps with that.
Just like parking, too.
Just like parking, yeah. Try to come in one car, yeah.
One more, and I think this will be the last question for now.
Thank you, Pastor.
I was just wondering that you've got in the budgeted for 2025 building capital reserve expenditures of $47,000. What are we planning on doing?
Parking lot, we've hired a consultant. Consultants made the recommendation. Jim Brinks or Dave Howell are in charge of that project, but that's going to be the bulk of it that we know. Some of it's contingent, but our parking lot has some areas that aren't safe, and we're going to repair, recoat, and restripe. And I wish they were all wider, but we got to have a certain ratio of parking to the building square footage. So buy smaller cars. Come in a motorcycle. Yeah. Okay. Any more?
I think at that, let's close off this Q&A. If you have more questions, please feel free to talk to Greg or talk to me, and I'll probably mostly point to Greg and to answer any further questions. So thank you. And Connor, if you can come up now and we can initiate Q&A on the church plant and whatever preliminary comments you want to make.
I'm going to remove this so I don't feel stuck here. I'm going to move this, too. All righty. Oh, jeez. Sorry. I'm used to the pulpit mic or the headset, not the handheld. Any questions to kick it off? I know there are probably a couple. Brian, go for it.
As you move toward this church plant,
How
can we support you directly monetarily? Do we do that through the OPC? Do we do that through you to the OPC? Because I know that that's something we're going to do. I just need to know how to do it. Mm-hmm. And if you would explain that to the rest of the congregation, because I know you'd be seeking some support.
Yeah. I'll answer. So the easiest way to do it would be to give directly. I'm working on getting like an initial first draft of like an early website out in probably the coming weeks. I already have a church bank account set up for that if you'd like to give directly to the work. That makes it easier so we're not going around, so you're not giving to the OPC and then the OPC sending it back to me, so I have a direct way to give. And then the sessions discussing about how designating giving would work probably in the fall or even into 26 if you want to give directly through New Life like you would through a missionary.
Yeah. Let me just lay out a little bit of the timeline so you all know what we're looking at. So for January and February, Connor is 100% the Connor that you see before you here on site at New Life. Starting in March, he is going to, let me pull it.
100% here in March, but he's also starting in
March. Okay, right. Thank you. Let me pull up my notes here. So March as well, he will be 100% here, but will be starting his weekly Bible study up in Carlsbad. And then after March, for the second quarter, he's going to be 80% time here for April, May, and June. And then he will be 40% for July and August. And so his time of employment will terminate at the end of August, okay? And what the session is doing is, as he tapers down his time here, his benefits will stay 100%. His salary will drop in proportion to the time that he is here. And the balance of that, we are going to be donating to his church plant. So in essence, he will be fully funded in his salary and benefits through the end of August. Then for the balance of 2025, the session is going to give, I want to make sure I'm giving, we'll be giving $4,000 a month to the church plant. And then through this whole time and through 2026, and this gets to your question a little bit, we are going to create a designated line item under home for All Saints Presbyterian Church, Connor's church plant. Now, everything Connor just said is true. He's getting his bank account set up, all of that. But for our members, it's super easy if you're already using the online giving platform to just pull that menu down and find that and click that and be able to give that way. We want to be able to facilitate that so that things aren't getting lost in transition for him. And then we'll keep that set up through the end of 2026 with the hopeful presumption that by the end of 2026, they'll be up and running. All those pathways will be clear. Those of you who decide we want to keep supporting in a midterm, long-term way, you've already made that connection with him directly. And we just want to facilitate giving from our members to the church plant for this opening couple years while they're getting set up and getting rolling. So,
Kurt. I know Kurt's question. But.
Okay. Yeah, you know my question, but let me give you a little background. I have no problem with the OPC. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be unhappy if we were OPC here instead of PCA. So the question is, why OPC?
So, Kurt's question is, why the OPC? If you're not familiar, that's the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Realistically, it comes down to a pragmatic decision, so not a theological decision. The structure for church planting in the OPC is a much more robust system than what we have in the PCA. So in the PCA, there's no direct denominational funding or support for church plants. Primarily, church plants in the PCA are done by a mother or daughter relationship where there's a sending church that essentially pays for an entire church plant out of pocket. And we're seeing that even in our presbytery. So one church is basically supporting a church plant up in Riverside, which is awesome. Presbytery can give, and the way that our presbytery is giving is good, but it's not enough to necessarily support a salary or expenses or a budget for an up-and-coming church plant. So the OPC has a better structure for church planting, in my opinion. The other option sometimes with the PCA is that the presbyteries that oversee them sometimes require a minimum amount of money in the bank prior to even starting Bible studies, worship services, and those things. I've heard stories, a previous professor of mine in Charlotte, North Carolina, has to raise $250,000 before he can even start the work in Charlotte. So I didn't want to be necessarily handicapped by financial stuff. So the OPC is a better structure for church planting. That's one side of it. So there's a pragmatic side. No real theological difference, no pragmatic difference in terms of like philosophy of ministry, very ordinary means of grace, word and sacrament based. The other thing is that the OPC has not planted a church in San Diego, I think, in about 2 decades. So the presbytery itself has been wanting to plant a church in this area. So I was talking to the resident home missionary. Each presbytery in the OPC has a home missionary that oversees church planting. And he and I have been speaking about this for a number of years. So they've been wanting to find someone that was a good fit for the San Diego region. And I think I'm a good fit for San Diego.
Connor,
yeah.
And one thing that may be helpful too that's related to that, I've heard you describe kind of the Venn diagram where the PCA is,
yeah,
where the OPC is, and where you sit.
Yeah.
And I think that gets into a little bit of the style of church.
Yeah. Line. So the PCA, broadly speaking, has 3 camps. This comes from Tim Keller. He kind of gives a diagnostic. There's the cultural transformationist, sort of neo-Calvinism, and everyone tunes out now. Then you have like a pietistic type camp, and then you would have a doctrinalist camp. This is broadly speaking for the PCA. The PCA is a big tent. That's the language we use. So in some PCA churches, you'll show up and it'll feel like a non-denominational church, very low liturgy, contemporary worship band. You know, maybe there's PowerPoint, lights are on, maybe they're off. Nothing necessarily wrong with that. Nothing sinful about that. Where I would put myself in the PCA would be, probably no shock to anyone here, in the doctrinalist side of the PCA. So, so very much focused on historic confessional Presbyterianism, unapologetically reformed, ordinary means of grace focus, that means just word and sacrament-based ministry, very high liturgy, communion every single week without exception, very high, very liturgical. In the OPC side, I would probably somehow be called, I'd be on the left of the OPC, which is very funny, theologically. So the guys that are out here that I really like and are doing solid confessional gospel-based ministry have a really high view of the ordinary means of grace, very liturgical, and I think that fits into that North County Carlsbad area. Most of the churches up there have been described as big box mega churches. And even this week at Presbytery, Ed Stetzer was giving an overview of kind of the church in the future. And his argument, which I strongly disagreed with, was that most people returning to church in light of like the COVID era are going to go to large mega churches of 1,000 or more that will have the light show and the smog machine, all of those bells and whistles. I'm not convinced by that at all. The church I want to plant is a very liturgical, very ordinary means of grace focused, historic Orthodox Christianity in an area where that is just not represented.
He disagrees with that. That's why he's going to have two fog machines.
Two fog.
He's not going to have lights and fog, just fog. Yeah. And a robe.
Yeah. Other questions? Greg.
If you've checked Tithely already because you want to start donating immediately, I don't have the home sub-designation set up yet, but I'll set it up today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Denise.
Will you be pulling members from this church?
The plan, I told Craig during worship, this is a church plan ex nihilo. Vince laughed. So I'm planting from scratch. Yeah. What's that? Do I have elders? I have a board of directors right now, which is Dean.
So when there are other PCA churches in our denomination here locally that are struggling, why another church plant?
There are lots of sinners. That's my sort of, I'll say, sassy answer to it. There are a number of churches up in the North County area. We have Eric Chappelle at El Camino Presbyterian Church, a PCA church plant in our presbytery. We have Brad Jones at Arise in Vista. We also have Redeemer Presbyterian Church, where I interned at in Encinitas, and Nancy's from as well. And then we have Oceanside United Reformed Church. That's just the coastal North County area. If you were to look at regular attendance, Redeemer's at 1,500 on a weekend. Oceanside URC, I'll put them at 80 to 100. I'll put Arise at 50 to 60, and I'll put El Camino at 72, because that's what Eric had on his pamphlet at Presbytery. If you take that number, we're looking at, I'm not good at math, but 1,800 to 2,000 people in confessionally Reformed churches in the North County area. Geographically, this area supports probably 500,000 people between Oceanside, San Marcos, Carlsbad, Encinitas, Cardiff, Solana Beach, and even into Del Mar. I don't think we are scratching the surface of potential confessional Reformed churches in that area. I grew up in Carlsbad. I had no idea what a Presbyterian was, and I was in a Presbyterian youth group. So I'll put it sort of along those lines. I meet with a group of guys on Friday mornings once a month to pray. They're all Christians. I say I'm a Presbyterian pastor, and they go, what is that? No real conception of historic, confessional, Reformed Christianity. So I think that's sort of my argument for why a church plant in that particular area. And Carlsbad is not represented in that area. So we have two in Oceanside, one in Vista, all throw Harvest in San Marcos, and then even the OPC in Escondido, and then Redeemer in Encinitas. Yeah, Stan. I'm working with a Lutheran church right now on renting a facility. Yeah, I'm not buying anything. There's no one there yet. Yeah, Betsy. Dean?
And Joel?
And Joel?
I will. Do you want to take this?
The buck stops here. Yes. Yeah. There will be. Now, the challenge comes. Maybe this is a plea for giving, but the challenge comes in the commitment that the session has made to Connor to try to make sure his family doesn't starve for these opening months, particularly through this calendar year. Because we're supporting him, you know, so his last couple months, he'll just be 20% here, and yet we're still paying him, you know, essentially with the donation to the church plant, full time. So I feel like we've got a little time, just dictated by finances. I did tell the session, if somebody drops a check for $1 million in the offering box, we'll be revisiting some of these conversations, because that would put us in a different posture. But right now, we're just trusting the Lord for the energies to accomplish all that needs to be accomplished. Aaron has connected me with another potential intern, so we may fill out some responsibilities through having multiple interns, which is a blessing. You heard Bill pray for the seminary. That's a blessing because there are students at that seminary coming, not just anywhere. They're very good. So yeah, there is a plan, and we want to see the ministries here continue to grow and thrive. And church planting is part of the reason we want to continue to see it grow and thrive, so that this isn't the last time we have to work with this. So,
Brian.
When we talk about replacing Connor, he came here as an assistant pastor, which only can be appointed or hired by the session. Are we talking about an associate? Are we talking about an assistant? And is that all budget-based? And then my question for Connor is, can we support you by going to your Bible study even if I don't surf?
Yeah, it's the church is open to non-surfers. I'll say that. You want to do the first?
Yeah, let me address the question of assistant or associate. My answer would be potentially. I think the session has more conversations to have about duties, responsibilities, even those tucked into mission and vision and what we want to see the next phase of ministry look like here. And so I want our guys to have time to lay all their thinking on the table. I lay all I'm thinking on the table, and we work through this in what happens next, staff-wise. So,
if I could, just one other thing to see if this fits in. Hopefully it does. The difference in the impact to New Life budgetarily with the church plant is about $30,000. So it'll be $30,000 roughly less, because once Connor is off payroll in September, we're supporting about $4,000 a month. That's less than we would be paying him for benefits and everything like that for the rest of the year. So if the session is designed to stay revenue neutral, that's kind of the pot of money that's available to do something more. But the session is not committed one way or another to that. So I'm just saying there are plans for change, but the specific plans for the timeline, it's not like we're saying by September we want to have an assistant, or by November we want to have this. It's opportunistically, as the Lord provides, we will respond to that. And a lot of it, and I think this is what you'd say, we are going to be keeping the pulse on the congregation too, because as a session we want to make sure that the congregation is fed, nourished, supported throughout this process. So if there are things that are happening, we'll respond to those as well.
And I appreciate, as we're working through the budget sessions as a session, there was an intentional increase in pulpit supply funding for my sake. And I'm not the one who lobbied for it. I forget who brought it up, but just to make sure that we can help cycle in. And this, it's also a great season for you all to meet some other ministers in the presbytery, because they'll be coming in to minister to you from the pulpit. And so there are many blessings. This will be a challenging time, but it's also a time when there are many peripheral blessings that we can have through that. And that pulpit supply will be one of them.
Peggy.
Do the men that are part of your Bible study know that you're going to be planning a church?
Yeah, so they're just buddies that surf, and we pray together. I've just started to connect with them. So one's a FCA, works for that ministry. So it's still early stages, but yeah, they're aware that I'm church planting. Brian has more.
Did you expect any less?
No.
Okay, we'll let you do it over. Not a question, but this, for all of us that are here as congregants at New Life, this is part of our tradition since I've been here over 15 years. First we sent Ben out, and then we sent Adriel out, and now we're sending Connor forward. And what we're doing as a church is exactly what Matthew 28 is all about. I thank the session for their consideration, their prayerful consideration of how we can continue to support Connor on this mission. I think that's well thought out. I think everything we're doing, we need to make sure we take that step of faith, no matter what the cost, because what he's talking about is 500,000 people that need, that are, we don't know how many are elect, but we need to call those people with the gospel. So what we're doing as a church to support you, what both Pastor Joel and the session have done and the trustees, is outstanding. And we need to remember that that is part of our, if you will, I hate to say it this way, it sounds too evangelical, but it is part of our tradition and church DNA. So we as members need to step forward in any way we can to support this, because it is God's work, as Pastor Joel spoke about today in his sermon. It talks about our global mission, but more than anything else, it's Matthew 28. So I want to thank the session, Pastor Joel and Pastor Connor, for answering the Lord's call to this work. And we need to remember who we are as a congregation and what we've done over so many years. So thank you to all of you. Thank you to all the session and the pastors for doing this. You're making a difference by answering God's call.
Thank you. Denise.
I was just curious. So you're planning to church plant from nothing, mm-hmm. basically. Just a small Bible study, or you have a core group, you mm-hmm. said. You told me earlier. I was just wondering, do you go out surfing every day and then preach the gospel? And is that how you're going to get...
I wish I could surf every day, but I don't.
How are you planning to build this?
Okay, so a couple things. Just so you all can be clear, the way that the church planting works in the OPC is basically, I will develop a core group, I'll start a midweek Bible study. Once we hit certain numbers, I believe the numbers are 30 adults and $30,000 in the bank, I can petition that presbytery, the Presbytery of Southern California, to be taken on as a mission work. That way, I will transfer my ministerial credentials from the PCA into the OPC, and then that's when presbytery support kicks in, that's when a temporary session is given, and once you're at mission work, you're in a new phase of ministry where you're working towards particularization. What that means is that you ordain ruling elders alongside the pastor, and you call a pastor, more often than not the planting pastor, and then you're at a spot where financially you can be a self-sustained congregation. That process from nothing to particularization, best case scenario, is 3 to 6 years. That's kind of an average way that that takes place. On a personal level of surfing and evangelism, one of my own sort of internal struggles is the fact that we have lived 45 minutes to an hour away from our church, and it's very hard for me to not really have an easy way to say, hey, would you want to come to church with me? Caveat, it's going to take you an hour to get there. With someone who's not in church, it's already so hard for someone to sacrifice, in their mind, their time on a weekend to go to something where they don't know, and then to have that additional ask of the commute time. And that's been an encouraging thing with the few families that I've spoken to up in the Carlsbad area. They're part of a church, and they have that same struggle of like, hey, there's nothing really here that we can invite our friends and neighbors and coworkers to. I think that's one advantage of being up in that area, is not only for me personally as a minister to invite people to something local to them, which is a big ask, but for also people who are going to be part of the core planting team, for that advantage as well. It's a good question. Yeah.
I think that exposes a really strong point of prayer, is where they lease, and that the Lord would be gracious to allow them, where they land, to have a long-term lease. We have, one of the churches in our presbytery is in not an exactly ideal location, and they've just signed on for, I think, a 5-year commitment, but it's like what they can do and where they can be. It's not exactly their ministry center or anything. And so, real estate is competitive no matter where you go, but just really be praying that they're able to, whatever they lock in and start building their ministry there, that they're able to do that long term and not have to, okay, where's church this week, type thing, because that'll help them. And a lot of energy goes to trying to lease space, when your lease comes up. So many of you know that. So,
yeah. Kurt.
One comment first. You were talking about how far away you live,
mm-hmm.
how long it takes you to get here. people have probably noticed here that when people come here for church and probably during the week, your truck's always here early. That little white truck is here on time. So kudos to you. Thank you for that. The question is, if by the end of the year you're 20%, but we're paying 80%, that 80%, put it this way, 80% of what you did, how are we covering that? So you talked, Pastor, about some pulpit supply. Are there other areas we're thinking about as a session how to do this?
Conscripted service is the main thing we're going to try. So one of the main steps, first of all, we've tried to fit the diminishing responsibilities into kind of a natural flow of the life of the church. Connor's been instrumental in our membership education course that we do. So we're having one of those next month, and then he'll be kind of free and clear of that. We'll be doing some officer training. That'll take a number of months. Then he'll be, so it's kind of a natural flow to the life of where things are. So we have a little bit of time till we get to that 80%. And my prayer is that at that point, we do have a second intern in place, and that we're really maneuvering and using our ruling elders wisely in ways that we can and fits with their schedule and all of that. They're all very busy. But we want to shore up and encourage. There may be kind of a slow season ministerially while we wait for what the Lord has for us staffing wise. There was a time, this is on the books, that the Session of New Life committed to having 3 full-time ministers on staff to cover the depth and breadth of the ministry that they saw needing to be happening here. And we haven't talked about that since I've been here. I'm sure it's not been talked about for a while, but there is a lot that can and is going on. I think of even counseling. We have a male counselor and a female counselor that are taking on some of those duties for me as they're going through training through ACBC, and just continuing to build relationships in the community as well, praying that the Lord will cause things to flow into the church for people power and ministry experience and those types of things to help us, even in lay volunteer ministry. There's a lot members can do. There's a lot that an unordained person can do as a director over a particular ministry, using those administrative skills and those types of things, working with the pastor and the session to be able to handle those things. So we may be getting creative. It's one of the few times Presbyterians are allowed to get creative. But we will labor to make sure that all of the ministry plates keep spinning in an effective way for the good of the flock.
And I'll say that is some of the things that Connor does, like Reformation Conference and higher ed. We will need somebody or bodies to be able to take over some of those. And those have not been allocated yet. So if that's something that you see and your gift set that you can help with, please let us know.
And I'll give you a quick example. I don't want to embarrass her, but Amelita is technically like my admin assistant. I've not had her. She hasn't had to do a ton because you all are so good at lift groups. But I just asked her to come alongside and help me with initial contact and just feeling out where the groups are at and who all is there and everything. And that's extremely part-time, extremely volunteer. And there are a number of ways in the kind of admin side of the church where someone could serve in that type of capacity, where it's once a month or once every other month, there's kind of a little push on a project or something. But it just helps keep the ball rolling and help keep things off my plate so I'm able to focus on what I need to do. All right, it's 12:03.
Can I say one more thing?
Yeah.
So to close with this, so the name, I haven't officially, Joel let the cat out of the bag.
Right. But, sorry.
So the name of our church is going to be All Saints Presbyterian Church. So that's what we're going with. And then once I have more of the little detail stuff, you can find us our little things on the website, social media, those types of things. So I'll have more updates when I make those things.
Yeah. So. And just a reminder, Greg said that he will have that designated giving line item on the online form by end of ministry today. Yeah, I don't know.
And then
it's not really end of business, but okay. Unless it rains. So.
And with that, too, just so you're all aware, so we are, I've already registered us as a 501c3. We've filed our articles of incorporation with the state of California. Our bank account is set up, and then our giving is also set up as well. So just, we exist on paper, and then we're working to exist in person, just so you're aware of those things.
All right, well, let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can believe firmly and fully in the power of the gospel, in the work that you intend to do in this world through that gospel. I thank you for my brother Connor. I thank you for the gifts that you have given him, the way that he has studied to grow in those gifts, and the call that you have placed on his life. I thank you, Lord, that through this transition, with all of its largeness, potential uncertainties, challenges, that you are bringing to fruition in him a call that you began a number of years ago. And Father, I pray that he would experience great joy and happiness and fulfillment in following after this call that you have placed on his life. Help us at New Life to be supportive, prayerful, encouraging, giving, to help see this church take off and honor you through historic Reformed confessional ministry. Father, fill Connor by your Spirit for every need in this coming season. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.